Now, we are delighted this evening to have Moose and Sandy Parks with us. Moose is a missionary stationed in St. Croix in the Virgin Islands and other places he travels around in the Caribbean. And this I know about Moose Parks. He works tirelessly in the service of our Savior. I get emails with his bulletin and schedule, and sitting in my study reading his schedule just exhausts me. I don't know how you do it, but the Lord has given him the grace for the work. And as if to prove me right, not only is he going to preach for us tonight, he's going to sing. So I guess don't let us know you've got talent and willingness, or we'll put you to work. So Moose, you come sing for us, and you preach the message the Lord's laid on your heart.
And when they had come to the place called Calvary, there they crucified him. Behold him crucified on Calvary. Jesus by men denied, there on a tree. Friends have defected him, foes have rejected him, God has forsaken him on Calvary. Behold my substitute on Calvary. God did my sin impute there on a tree. God made him to be sin, though he had none within. He died for worst of men on Calvary. Behold the Lamb of God on Calvary, suffering God's righteous wrath there on a tree. Hear, law, as it indicts, see, justice as it smites, and see, wrath as it strikes. On Calvary, behold him in his death. On Calvary, watch now his final breath there on a tree. Behold him as he dies, looking into the skies.
what he has done. On the Calvary, he has the victory won. There on a tree, justice is satisfied. God has now justified all for whom Jesus died. On Calvary,
good evening to all. First time I met most of you was in 1984. Been 30-some years ago. And you are as dear to me now as you were then. You were young. We all were young once, weren't we not? We are blessed to be here tonight. Thankful for the kind invitation. I invite your attention to 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15. My message is titled, Jesus Christ and Sinners. I suppose I have preached from this text more than from any other. I love this text. It talks about me, and it talks about my Savior. And after preaching it on this occasion and on that occasion, I've come back in a few months and looked at the text again and realized I missed something. Every time I have preached it, I missed something, and there's another message from the same text. I suppose on this subject of Jesus Christ and sinners, we can never exhaust it. Jesus Christ and sinners. My text reads, this is a faithful saying. That means that you can put your stock in it. It's worthy. You can trust what is here said. This is a faithful saying, and you can come to this faithful saying full of faith. It's reliable. It's reliable. What is this faithful saying? Well, it is worthy of all acceptance. You may reject everything you hear in religion, but you can accept this. This is acceptable. What is acceptable? That Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Christ Jesus. Jesus is his name. His name means Jehovah is salvation. It was the name given to him at his birth, for he shall save his people from their sins. And he did. He did. Nary a single solitary sinner for whom Jesus died will perish. He saved every single solitary one of them. He will save his people. Christ is his title. It means Messiah, anointed one, God's son. He's the subject of whom tonight we will preach, God willing. This one who is Jehovah is salvation, sent to save God's people from their sins, and will succeed because he is Jehovah's anointed and his only begotten son. Christ Jesus came into the world not to party, not to engage in politics, not on a moral crusade, not to conduct a war, not to give good advice. He came to save sinners. He came on a mission of mercy and grace to save sinners. I'm so glad that's why he came. Nothing else nor anyone else can save them. I'm glad he did. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And I know he succeeded because he has already saved the worst, of whom I am chief. What is a sinner? A sinner is anyone who is less than perfect in God's sight and according to God's standard. Less than perfect. That's putting it mildly, folks. Less than perfect. But then again, that includes every one of us, you and me. My father was a faithful minister of the gospel for many years. I was the eldest of six children. We were catechized every morning. He read the scriptures and taught us. And from the time I was wee small, I knew all are sinners. I knew that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. I knew that there is not a just man on the earth who does good and does not sin. I could quote the scriptures to you. I knew from earliest days that all are sinners. But oh, what a day it was when I realized that I was a sinner and became convinced of it and knew that I was a sinner in need of a Savior. I was 27 years old by the time I learned that. I was so glad to learn that someone came to save sinners. Did you ever notice the way Jesus treated sinners? Quite unlike the way that they're treated by religionists. Jesus did not despise sinners. Many people in religion despise sinners. Pharisees, we read, trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Despised sinners. Anybody not as good as a Pharisee, according to the Pharisees' barometer, it was despised. Despised. Jesus despised no sinner. Think about it. Despised no sinner. I'm glad of that. Surely he would have despised me. Jesus did not shun sinners. Did not shun them. He did not cross the street in order to try to avoid having to meet them. Did not shun them. He never said, "Keep to yourself. I am holier than thou." Never did. He welcomed them. "Come to me." "Ah, Lord, you just do not know how wicked I am." "Yes, I do. Come to me." "You do not know how unholy and how sinful I am." "Yes, I do. Come to me." He never shunned them. He never castigated sinners. I was schooled in a fundamentalist school, I say to my shame. And I've heard many preachers in pulpits talking about sinners and deliberately using derogatory terms to describe them. Did you ever notice Jesus never did? Never did. In fact, the only people he castigated were scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, brood of vipers. Sinners, come. Jesus welcomes you. I'm so glad. Jesus welcomes sinners, but I get ahead of myself because tonight I want us to look at this subject of Jesus Christ and sinners. I want you to consider the way that Jesus treated sinners. This one who said, "Harlots will enter my kingdom before you self-righteous people do. I came to save sinners." First of all, Jesus condescended to sinners. Here it is. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Whence did he come? He came from heaven. Where was he in heaven? On Zion's hill. In one moment, he's on the throne of the universe on Zion's hill. And the next moment, he's sitting in the dunghill of sin and shame, looking for sinners, maggots and worms, left the company of angels in heaven to live among maggots and worms. No man ever condescended to sinners like this one did. Leaving the loving embrace of his Father in order to endure the rejection of sinners, he condescended. Never a man condescended to anyone like this man did. Some may brag about stooping down to the lowly. He demonstrated it and showed that none ever did like he did. He came down to your level. Your level. He came down to dwell among the worst types of people on this earth. Sinners. Sinners. You do not find him in the palaces of the high and mighty. No, you find him in hell holes. You find him where sinners are. He condescended to sinners. What love is this? Second, Jesus identified with sinners. We read that he was numbered with the transgressors. They nailed him between two thieves to show that he was the worst of the three. And they did it because he was numbered with the transgressors, the scriptures say. But he did more than that. He was numbered with worse sinners than those two on that cross. What is the worst kind of sinner you can think of? How about a harlot? He's numbered with those. Rahab, for one. He numbered himself with Rahab. Drunkards, he numbered himself with them. Every kind of sexually immoral person you can think of, he numbered himself with them. People engaged in relationships of the same sex, he numbered himself with them. Murderers, you cannot find a sinner with whom Jesus would not number himself. He was numbered with the transgressors, not only by those who nailed him to the tree, but by himself. He's there on that cross as the substitute for murderers, rapists, wife beaters, children abusers. That's him. He's numbered with the worst kinds of sinners you can imagine. And I tell you what, that's good news for me. That's good news for this sinner. He's numbered with the transgressors. He bore the sin of many. Number three, Jesus sought sinners. He went looking for them. He had to take a trip one day from Galilee, where he lived, down to Jerusalem in the southern part of the land. And in order to get from Galilee to Jerusalem, if you went the direct route, you had to go through Samaria. Good Jews didn't do that. That's unholy ground. That's where Samaritans live. So a Jew would, from Galilee, travel due east, cross the Jordan River, go down on the west or on the east bank of the Jordan River until he had gotten past the unholy land, and then come across at Jericho and make it to Jerusalem. So Jesus must go to Jerusalem. How's he going to go? The scriptures declare he must needs. He had to go through Samaria. Why? There's a woman in Samaria
Oh, not just any woman. Not just any woman. A very immoral woman. But she's one of his. She's one of his. He knows where she's going to be at high noon, which well she's going to be at, and there he is to meet her. He came looking for her. He comes looking for lost sheep. It is not enough that he sits somewhere and maybe hope they will come to him. No, no, no. He goes looking for them. I'm so glad. I never would have found him. I never would have found him. But Jesus came looking for sinners and he sought them. And he came looking until he found me. I'm so glad Jesus seeks sinners. Fourth, Jesus beckoned sinners. He said, I did not come to call the righteous or self-righteous pharisaical people. I came to call sinners to repentance. Sinners to repentance. I rejoice in that too. I have known what it is to be self-righteous. Do not know that I've completely gotten over it. But I've known. But I am so glad I was finally taught and learned from God's word that all my righteousnesses were as filthy rags. And then I heard Jesus call. Not until I knew what a sinner I was and made myself devoid of all my self-righteousness, then I heard that sweet voice. Because he never calls self-righteous people. He's calling sinners. I didn't come to call the righteous. They need no physician. I came looking for sick people. Sinners. I'm so glad of that. This sinner is glad to hear that Jesus calls sinners to himself. Number five, Jesus forgave sinners. Forgave them. I mean the worst kinds of sinners, he forgave them. There's a man named Simon invited Jesus to his house one day for a meal, and Jesus went. There was a woman in the neighborhood, and she walked by the house, saw Jesus in there. And this woman came in to the place where Jesus was. She got down and began to weep at his feet. And the tears from her eyes bathed his feet. She took her hands and washed his feet. And took the hair off her head and dried his feet. Nothing was said. Jesus watched. And Simon watched from his chair. And he said to himself, Simon did, if this man were a prophet like he claims, he would know what kind of woman this is. I mean, those hands that are handling his feet, well, she had them wrapped around some man's head a few moments, drawing him to her embrace. That hair that she's using to dry his feet, some man, some immoral man had his hands going through that hair just a few moments ago. That fragrance she's using to anoint his feet, she used that just a few moments ago to anoint her bed for some man. If this man only knew, this Jesus, if he only knew about those hands and that hair and that fragrance, and this sinful woman. Well, Jesus had been listening to Simon's thoughts the whole time, though Simon knew it not. He said, Simon, I came into your house. You gave me no water to wash my feet. You gave me no towel to dry them. And this woman came in, this sinful, this wretch of a woman has come in and bathed my feet with the tears of her repentance and has now washed them and made them clean and anointed them. And he looked at the woman, this sinful woman, and he said to her, your sins
are forgiven. Your faith has saved you. Go in peace. He did not say that to Simon. He said it to a wretched sinner. Jesus forgave the worst of sinners. I'm so glad. If he forgave her, he can forgive me. He can. He forgave her. If he forgave me, he can forgive you. This is what he does. Our Savior forgives sinners and delights to do it. Number six, Jesus justified sinners. There's a man. He's gone to the temple to pray. He looks for the most holy article of furniture that he can find in the most conspicuous place. And there he brags on himself about how much better than others he is. And then when he's done, there's a poor tax collector whom the Pharisee has just castigated. And that Pharisee or that publican would not so much as lift his eyes to heaven, afraid that he might look up to heaven and see God looking at him. Would not so much as lift his eyes to heaven and smote his breast and said, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. And Jesus said, that man went down to his house justified rather than the self-righteous man. Whom did Jesus justify? None but those that needed it. Those that boasted of having self-justification and righteousness, leave him alone. But Jesus says, you show me a sinner, I'll justify him. I will declare him righteous. That's what he came to do. He justified sinners. Number seven, Jesus welcomed sinners. Jesus welcomed sinners. I have two children. They're grown now. Turned out to be delightful children. Turned out to be a great blessing to us. But oh, in their teen years, they sure did try our patience. Our son and our daughter both have run away from home. I think both of them more than once, not at the same time, run away from home, just took off. And the first time it happens, you have to realize it's grievous. You're concerned for them. You love them. You wonder what's happening. And here a father goes, he's everywhere he can think of where they might be looking for them. And there's a mother. She's left work, come home early. Everything else is forgotten. She's sitting there in front of that window in the living room, waiting for my boy to come home. Where's my boy? Where's my daughter? Where are you? Sit there for hours. Where's my boy? Jesus knows what that is all about too. Yes, he does. He tells a story of a man whose son came to him and said, Father, I want whatever you're going to give me when you die, I want it now. Well, if it had been me, I'd have said, well, you ingrate, you're getting nothing now. But no, the father of this one said, okay, you get it. I know what you're going to do with it, but you get it. He gave it to him. And the young boy went off and wasted it in riotous living. Ended up quite literally and physically in a pigsty and realized the pig said it better than he did. He said, I'm going to go home. I'm going to pray my father will receive me. And he recited his prayer all the way home, what he was going to say. Maybe my father will receive me. And the old man's been waiting every day, that boy to come home.
Lord, bring him home. Bring him home. One day the old man looks down the road. Well, that's the size of my son, but he doesn't walk quite as tall and upright as my son. He's kind of dragging himself along a little bit. Does not look like the clothes he left home with. It looks like my son. Can that be my son? That's my son! And up the old man gets and runs down the road. And this boy's got a prayer to recite. And before he can get it out, the father embraces him. He's got the smell of pigs all over him. The odor of perspiration. He's filthy. He's dirty from that pigsty where he had been living. And the father embraces him and kisses him and says, "Welcome home." I recall the day my son came home. What a sweet day it was. What a sweet day. It is amazing what all you can forget when your son or your daughter comes home. Things in the past, no, he's home. Get the best robe out. Put a ring on this boy. He's no longer a servant. Put shoes on his feet. This is my son. Was lost and has now come home. And that's the way Jesus receives sinners. I know that's the way he received me. No one here is too vile for him to receive. He receives me like that all the time. The wretched sinner that I am. Jesus delights in welcoming sinners and receiving them. Number 8, Jesus accepted sinners. For when sinners drew near to him to hear him, the Pharisees and scribes complained, saying, "This man receives sinners." Ha! And he eats with them too! Yeah, he receives sinners. I'm so glad. He receives them warmly. He beckons them to come. And when they come, he never turned a single sinner away. Never did. He welcomes them and accepts them. And he befriends them. Number 9, for he is a friend of sinners. A friend of sinners. A feast is made by a tax collector named Levi, Matthew. And he invites sinners. Sinners. Immoral people. People despised by religionists. And they sit down and Jesus talks with them and eats with them. Strangest religious leader this world ever knew. Never was there one like this one. And one more, number 10, we'll close. Jesus not only condescended to sinners, identified with sinners, sought sinners, beckoned sinners, forgave sinners, justified sinners, welcomed sinners, accepted sinners, befriended sinners, but he saved the chief of sinners. What is the chief of sinners? What is the chief of sinners? Let's see. That's got to be a murderer. Well, that's pretty bad. Wife beater. Yep, that's bad. Drunkard. Yep, that's bad. Addict. Yep. They're all bad. Would you like to know what the chief of sinners is? Saul of Tarsus says he's me. He's a self-righteous sinner. The only thing that will ever prevent you from coming to Christ is your own righteousness. Your own righteousness. As long as you think there's something good about me,
at least something, you'll never come to Christ. And it means you've got a righteousness of your own. That's what prevents people from coming to Christ. It's their own righteousness. And Saul of Tarsus had to be knocked from his high horse in the middle of the day and to grovel in the dust and say, "Lord, who are you that just did this to me? I am Jesus. What would you have me to do?" Self-righteousness is gone. He's no longer bragging about how good he is. He's bragging about how great Jesus is. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. You know, I got good news, but it's only for sinners. If I could just find a sinner, if there's one here tonight, I got good news. And I hope I'm not the only sinner here tonight. I've got good news for sinners. Christ receives sinners and saves them and blesses them. And before you walk out that door tonight, be sure you've come to Him. He'll receive you.
Amen. God gets lost for save this morning. Oh, but if we're a sinner, He saves. That's such good news, Moose. Thank you. Thank you for